What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here to talk about all the comics that are coming out on this very day.
Well, Wednesday, July 30th.
Oh, we're talking about all of them. I'm going to each store, and I'm buying up all the ones that we're not mentioning just to get them off the stands, because it's our town. It's Stack Town. And when we do the Stack, we are the Stack. And this is
welcome
your Stack,
to the Stack.
Welcome to the Stack, and we're real authoritative about it. You ready to get into some comics, Pete?
I would love to.
You like them? You still love them? Let's do a quick heat check. You love comics still?
I do, yes. After all these years, still love it.
Anything changed? Like, have you dipped a little bit? Or is the hype growing right now? Summer is comic season to me.
Well, yeah, summer is comic season. It's the summer of comics. It's always the summer of comics. I feel like, yeah, over the years, my taste has changed. You know what I mean? Your love of relationships is worn off on,
you know,
I don't always need fighting, but, I
feel
like
shit. You hear that, folks? This bad boy has a heart of gold, and we've reached it. He's like grinching here when it comes to relationships and comics. Hype to see that.
My palate has widened over the years.
Beautiful, like a gourmand just gnawing down on these four-color funnies. I was just upstate where I first really got into comics. I got some in my stocking at Christmas, but it was those summer walks where I would walk like 4 miles down a dirt road to get to the gas station that had a spinner rack. That was my love of comics. That's why summer's always comics. So we were kicking off with a classic summer stack, starting with Justice League Dark Tomorrow Special number 1 from DC Comics, written by Mark Guggenheim and Mark Waid. Art by Sean Tormey. This is like an important comic. It's getting, it's sort of pulling all the continuity that's been happening from all the Dark Side stuff, all the DC All-In stuff, has all been leading up to this. And this is the pivot point that gets us into DC KO and the next sort of round of events. Pete, how did you feel about this?
Well, first off, cool cover. You know what I mean? That always sets a nice tone. I love the art inside. It's such a great vibe. I like this team that we're kind of working with. There's tons of actions and twists and turns in this issue. I mean, yeah, fucking Jonah Hex up in the mix. I'm a sucker for some Hex. So, yeah, I'm loving this, man. I feel like this does a great job of getting you excited in this first issue, wanting more. Yeah, this checks all the boxes for me as a Justice League comic.
This comic is a lot like sort of a Justice League meets Exiles from the Marvel Universe.
Ooh, okay, I like it.
We're
I
getting, like some of the time displaced characters having to go and save time. We are going to spoil these comics throughout. We'll let you know if we're hitting on some larger spoilers. But I will just say a character that I've always loved since the 90s is Wave Rider, even though that's sort of a maligned crossover event. But we do see Wave Rider in this in sort of a sad way. I like these villains, these Omega Demons, I think they're called in here. What do you think about our guy Airwave has become like a player? The last week we talked about a comic that basically resurrected him. And now he's being told, coming and going, like, hey, get over the fact that you betrayed the Justice League by accident. You're important. What is it about Airwave? Like, he has, like, Spider-Man energy, I feel like. He's, like, a young hero who is powerful, but also it's just, like, a huge force of will.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he's being used well here. I feel like it's fun to ride with this guy. So, yeah, man, I'm enjoying it.
I also really like the Evil Legion is such a fun idea. I've said this before, and we're really getting close to paying that off more and more. This team is interesting. The only thing that I'm like, Jonah Hex, space.
He's like
a regular cowboy. There's not a lot of, there's nothing much going on there from a superpower. They need someone who's like.
Sometimes all you need is just a regular cowboy. You know what I mean?
I've never felt that I need a regular cowboy. Like, I've never been in a situation where I need to get along, little doggies.
Oh, you know? Really? Okay, you don't or need a mosey or anything like that? I mean,
I mosey.
He's
I'm
got
mosey.
Some six guns, you know what I mean? He can help.
I do like there's a point in here where he's like, hey, thanks for the special bullets. I was like, yeah, okay. he got space bullets for his special time and space.
Yeah, he's got non-killing bullets, you know what I mean? That way it's like cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, they're good for shooting Omega Demons, I guess. I am excited about this, the DCKO event. They're making it seem like it's just going to be fun with a little bit of continuity underneath. And I said this on the live show, but like anytime they can have an event with like some pretty staunch storytelling restrictions, it actually lets the creators get weirder within them. So I'm excited to see what that is going to be. Def, check that out. But let's move on and talk about Ultimate Spider-Man number 19 for Marvel, written by Jonathan Hickman and art by Marco Cicchetto. This book, you know, we talk, the continuity is such a thing. This book has the tightest timeline and continuity in the game right now. They're sticking to this month-by-month storytelling thing. We get a lot of stuff going on here. We got a Black Cat. We have a young Spider-Man who is basically Venom, and a great opening sequence here based on that. Yeah, you got Ultimate Kingpin. You've got perhaps the most ultimate thing we have here is the ultimate Peter Parker Mary Jane relish.
Yes.
Pete, you're a fan / hater of this relationship. What do you say about this?
How dare you say hater of this relationship?
Well, you hate the way it happened. You just hate. You spend more time hating than loving, I think.
Well, first off, I mean, watching Venom fuck shit up here, this is great. Amazing Venom stuff in this.
Yes, I love the way that Venom is drawn here. Really cool.
Yeah, and I also love, you know, the kind of Parker talk we get here where they're trying to figure stuff out. You know, the parenting stuff. I mean, you had to kind of like this, you know, even superheroes got to kind of get on the same page about how they're going to kind of parent.
I get a lot of parenting in my day to day, you know. Yeah. You think like journalists are like, fuck yeah, Clark Kent's writing the news. Yeah. You think they get to feel seen there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, how did you feel as a parent? Were you like, oh, finally, you know, we get some, instead of them just making out and then being an adorable couple, it's like them just having some hard conversations of like, would you please back me up? I mean, I said he had a timeout, and then you didn't say, you know, so now he doesn't have a timeout. I just wish we were on the same page, you know?
I'm going to firmly go in the more making out camp on this one. Like, let's see some more kissing from our gang here. Like, get Mary Jane and Peter should be just love all the time. We haven't gotten in so long. It's nice to see it. I also like the last moment we get, perhaps a great thing to happen between the two of them. And I gotta say this, like, the Richard Parker character is such a good addition. And despite the fact that I think we're only going to get 5 more issues of this comic. I think it ends at 24. So we need, they're spending a lot of time building up a lot of things. And I'm going to be really sad that it's going to end soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great run. It's fun. Amazing art. So, you know. It's better if I had something great than, you know, not had it at all. You know what I mean?
'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have love at all, says Pete, sort of.
That's right.
Wow, beautiful. Sort of our Shakespeare. Speaking of our Shakespeare, let's move on to Speed Racer, number 1, yeah. From Mad Cave Studios, written by David Popoz, art by David Tinto. Now, this guy's good at driving a car.
Yeah, he sure what is. He's one of the best.
What may be one of the best in this era of cars driving, an F1 in NASCAR, in traffic jams across the Northeast Corridor. What's special about a Speed Racer? Well, for me, let me say real quick, I've never really seen or read a lot of Speed Racer. I didn't know his name was Speed Racer.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, what do you think, dude? This is back before creativity. No, I just think that this is classic fun. I was a fan of the Speed Racer cartoon growing up and used to him driving up the sides of buildings and stuff like that, which is fun. Because what's great when you're a good racer, and they talk about this in this issue, you know, you can do anything. You know what I mean? You can get creative. You can drive up walls. It's where your imagination goes.
Do you think I can drive up a wall just because I haven't tried it?
Yeah, I think that's really...
I think I should give it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. Pack the whole family in there, you know what I mean, and give it a whirl.
We're going up. We're going down the Grand Canyon, across the bottom, and up the other side is our goal.
Smart. That'd be a fun trek. I do love the racing scenes in this. I feel like they did such a great job, especially it's tough sometimes as a comic to kind of show action
and
movement and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I think this does a great job with it. I loved all the racing scenes and stuff like that. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, Chin Chin the monkey.
Oh, come on, Chin Chin.
Hanging out. And this reminded me of my grand. I heard a story this when I was upstate for July that my grandfather was in World War II, flew out of northern Africa, and he had a tiny monkey that flew in his plane with him. So that is just a fun way to live. Great to have a monkey hanging around, says everybody.
Sorry, you said World War II, and I just checked out. I didn't.
Yeah, you got really scared. I didn't mention it, but Pete just fully vanished. He's scared of WW2 because in a previous life, he was an Italian villager who was stuck. He just wanted to make his pizza pies. Unfortunately, Mussolini kept trying to put a stop to it. I like the dramatically. I think this ends really well. I like we get a nice little relationship thing, not to be myself so hard, and another dramatic thing happens at the same time. I think that is well done. I hope that this develops a bit. I'm sure it will. David, thoughtful writer.
Yeah,
I'm certain we're going to get that.
Great writer.
Because the table is certainly set here. So I'm curious where we go next. And I'm curious where we go next. No, I'm not. I know the answer. It's Titans 2025 Annual Number 1 from DC Comics by Phil Jimenez.
Yeah. I mean, this is just really cool, kind of, I thought, a fun use of annual where we focus on Adana-ish. This is fun, sweet. I like the date at the end. Love the art. I just felt like... kind of cool to see her over the years, a little kind of time dashing, kind of fun with this. You can understand wanting to hang out with Wonder Woman all the time, but she's got to go on adventures of her own, you know. Mm. But I just thought amazing art, great use of the kind of annual. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, this is just a fantastic statement comic for Donna Troy. Like, it reminded me of the iconic George Perez Wonder Woman book from back in the day. This is Phil Jimenez taking that on for Wonder Girl Donna Troy. It's definitely focused on her. We do get a lot of the other Titans in this, but it's certainly her story. There's a great section in here where they're all young. They're all hanging out with Alfred, Pete, your guy Alfred.
Come on.
Prime butlering happening here.
Yeah.
He's like, Masters Titans, can I get you anything? Like, this guy's crazy making Mance on a log and peanut butter on Ritz.
Come on, dude. Who doesn't love those things? You know,
his birthday, he's making some of that dirt cake that looks like dirt but is actually cake. Oh, man. The original Is It Cake was dirt cake.
Oh, yeah.
Nice emotional stuff here. And I do think, like... As it goes on, you really, I'm like, I like Donna Troy, but I've never been like, oh, give me more of that all the time. Mm-hmm. This book will make you love her. There's just a great section here with Batman in relation to a Robin situation that happens that I thought was just beautifully done.
Great.
Very good book. And especially like I Love an Annual, great way to spend your summer comic reading time because you get to get a little bit off the beaten path into some more interesting stuff. But let's move on to a book I've been excited about, The Ultimates number 14 for Marvel Comics, written by Dennis Camp. The Camp in full effect, art by Juan Frigieri. Get in the camp. In this comic, we are... we're exploring the Ultimates universe, and again, the clock is ticking on this, but Dennis Camp is taking the time to just broaden this thing out, touching on Avengers history, but bringing that into the Ultimates universe. I love the villains we see here. Does a great job of making this world, like, full of dread, harsher, while not just being, like, a chaos world where everyone's just a villain all the time. I love how hard Captain America is a hero in this. This is like essential reading for anyone who's just likes in the main universe where the Avengers stuff is just a little more complicated to jump into. This is pure Avengers stuff that I think you can really get on board with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got Emma, you know, as we said, spoilers, but I'm going to get into it here. You got Emma Frost being evil again, you know. I mean, sometimes she goes back and forth, so it's kind of nice to see her kind of in her bag a little bit, being the evil person we know her as. And then you got the young Hawkeye making rookie mistakes, and then you just got Cap being a legend. And I love how he handled that speedster. I thought that was just so
badass. Such a cool scene. Great sequence.
Yeah, just really great. Awesome art, tons of action. Yeah, fun last panel. Excited to read more, you know. And I have written down JT Sizzle be camping. So this is just in his wheelhouse of fun. So this is
great. I just came back from camping, and I'm still in my heart camping with Dennis Camp. Shouts to page 20, which is just a great close-up series of panels of Cap getting his ass kicked.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a fun montage.
Great, like, punch-out of Captain America in there. I mean, the we go back and forth talking about, because the weeks are off. Absolute Comics all come out, and we're like, we love those. So good. Then Ultimates come out, and we're like, we love those. It's just an exciting time. We don't need to choose. We don't need to choose. We love them both. You can have them both.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like, I want all the ants on all the logs. I want more ants than logs. I want more logs than ants.
Wow.
Let's move on to, what's that?
You can't over-ant a log, you know what I mean? The more raisins, the more of a party it is.
What's the right number? Ants on a log, for those of you who don't know, iconic snack from probably
summer
like
camp
50s.
Snack is what I think about.
We're talking celery, we're talking peanut butter, and we're talking three raisins.
How long a stick you got over there, bro?
What are you, how much you got? You're
dude,
talking
you
like, what, you
load
two?
That fucker up, dude, come on.
Wow, you got a
it's a trough swarm. For a reason, bro. Come on.
Wait, why you just eat raisins?
I would.
Here's a controversial take. I like cream cheese and celery better.
Oh, I just threw up.
That doesn't even have a name. That doesn't even have a name.
That's gross.
That's shit.
That's like saying
good.
You. Oh, I can't even with that.
Well, I guess we ate at different rival summer camps. Imagine me, Pete and I encountering each other in some sort of rival summer camp capture the flag situation. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a couple of great enemies. Just like what's going on in The Last Witch, Blood of Betrayal, number 2 from Boombox. Written by Connor McCreary, art by Vivi Glass.
Yeah, this is, I am loving this. This is just,
This is like your number one pick for the week.
This is my jam, dude. I mean, first off, awesome cover. You know what I mean? Get you excited for the adventure inside, and man, does it deliver. Love the art. I love a badass grandma. I said it before, I'll say it again. This is just great adventure comic stuff. I love the facial expressions. It kind of reminds me of like a cartoony Jim Henson vibe. I just dig it.
Yes, good call.
I love the world that they created. The characters are great. I'm excited to see them kind of get out of this trouble that they're in.
They're in trouble. Yep. They're in some big trouble. But let me ask you this, Pete. When have you encountered a badass grandma in real life? Where did this affection bordering on fetish come from?
Well, my grandma was a badass grandma, so I always looked up to her.
Cigar smoking?
She didn't smoke cigars, but she smoked.
What was badass about her? Just punching stuff?
Yeah, she was just like, rules didn't apply to, around her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was kind of amazing.
She pushed you to put too many ants on the log.
Yeah, she was like, let's load them up. She taught me how to play poker for money, bro. You know what I mean? Like, grandma was not playing.
Yeah, she took your allowance. She's your first bully.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Give me those street smarts, you know what I mean?
Yes. Nothing more street than playing poker with a very old woman. This book is really good. It's a nice fantasy world that we're dipping into. Keep the stakes high throughout. This is the second issue, and the stakes are quite high already, and internally and externally to the book and the series. So Definitely enjoying this. Check it out. Let's go to something that is long. And we're talking, of course, about Batman, The Long Halloween, The Last Halloween, number 8 from DC Comics, written by Jeff Loeb with art by Becky Cloonan. Now, come on, Becky Cloonan. I think we've been a little bit up and down in this book, perhaps.
You have.
Okay, you've been on board the whole time, maybe.
Whole time.
But I will say, Jeff Loeb working on Hush 2 and this book at the same time. This book, I think, is leaps and bounds above Hattouche, just from a storytelling perspective. So that's really nice, especially coupled with our friend Becky Cloonan on art, which, man, is this art good.
It is. It's so good. I love the old school feel to it. There's tons of action. I love all the twists and turns in this. The nostalgia factor for this comic is very high for me, and I just... I don't care if it doesn't make sense to anybody or they like it or not. I just want this comic all the time to be coming out because, I don't know, I love Long Halloween. I think they did such a great job of, like, setting a art precedent when it comes to these Long Halloween things. So I feel like they really did such a great job with Becky and just really capturing that first piece and really kind of echoing it in a cool way.
Yeah, and this is just a great Solomon Grundy issue.
I love me some Grundy. I mean, come on, man, dude.
Ever since my Starman days, Starman really brought Solomon Grundy back into mainstream DC, I like to say. And great to see him here in his more feral state. And if we're talking feral, we got to get into Werewolf by Night, Blood Moon Rise, Red Band. Number 1 from Marvel Comics, written by Michael Giacchino and Jason Liu, art by David Messina and Jason Liu. Pete, you love werewolves, you love night. What a great combination here to have this werewolf by night.
Yeah, I mean, this is great fun cover, cool stuff. You know, we get Dracula in there, which is always great to see, and trying to control our boy, the werewolf here, and yeah, man. Yeah, so I'm excited for where this might go or what this is about, but I'm a sucker for classic characters and werewolf fun and the old-timey kind of vampire shit. So, yeah, this is all in wheelhouse, and this is just great.
This is all in wheelhouse. Werewolf by Night, Pete's delight. Mm-hmm. Werewolf by Warning, Justin, take warning.
Ooh.
Is something that I always say. I do like this. I found it strange that this was... a one shot. Yeah. This is just a standalone setting up question something, but like not sure what. It feels like it. We start like in the middle of the action with Werewolf by Night being like my affliction, his whole thing, and then going into just a bunch of bad things. There's a great rescue later on in the book, and I am curious where we're going. It feels like.
Feels like a showdown with the werewolf and Dracula, you know what I mean?
Yes, and just Dracula, you know, it's left with, like, Dracula was scared of something, so some larger sort of darker thing.
Scare Dracula, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was the guy? Vespa from Blood Rain? What was
that? Yep.
Whatever his name was, is that Vern? Vernie?
Yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Is that who we're going to get again? The least scary guy?
I hope not, but it would be nice if it was a cooler...
You went to bat for...
Yeah, I did. I was all about Vern. I thought it was a fun choice and worked well.
Man, it's so crazy how quickly...
it's out of the lexicon. I used to be able to pull it up, and now I...
Yes, really good. And also, definitely Blood Rain was not the name of that. Blood Hunt.
Blood Hunt.
Yes. Yes, the
Varney.
Blood
Hunt. It was Varney.
Varney, that's what it was. Varney, Blood
not
Hunt.
Looking it up, just remembering.
Good. Really good, Pete. Really good stuff. Really digging into... And by the way, I know you have it written around your laptop.
You have your
Varney...
Yeah, Varney notes.
You have your Varney mural that you painted on your wall,
yep,
which is really great. Your life
legally Varney. Not a murder board. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Thank you for saying that by court, by court order that you have to say that. There's also a fun backup here where we get the other By Knights hanging out, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
We get a werewolf By Night, we're demon By Night, and then a second werewolf By Night, which is fun. They this story was more of like a fun summer thing where they're doing battle with Nightmare, and it's revealed that they just went to sleep. And they're like, that just happens every night where they fight Nightmare until they wake up and they're like, hey, should we go get some food? And they're just walking around.
That's how I start every day.
Wake up with blood on your hands and mouth.
Thinking about food.
Wow. That's a confession. Let's move on to our next title. iTyrant number 1 from Image Comics by Eizon.
Yeah, not iTanya, it's iTyrant.
Yes, and so much in common with iTanya. If Tanya was slowly becoming a mythical devil from a long dormant religion, this story gets into it. It's dense. The art's really, really good and
trippy,
very like horror comic coded, and establishing this religion and then getting into some really like lingering in some horrifying snakes coming out of the back moments, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it reminds us of Sergeant Serpentor with the two kind of neck snakes, you know what I mean?
You said us.
Yeah, like us, the royal we, like all people who love G.I. Joe.
Am
like,
oh, I in the royal we? Are you, well, are
no,
you speaking
you're,
for...
You're like, no, you're like, oh, who's
wait, so wait, when
pit?
You say us, you're speaking for you and the Joes?
That's right, me and the fans of Joes.
Hey, Pete, that's stolen valor. You need to be a Joe. You need to be a Joe if you're going to claim Joe.
Okay, I'm just saying that, like... If you read this comic and are a fan of G.I. Joe's, you would be like, this guy's talking about Sergeant Serpentor. He's not, you know.
I mean, we've made fun of Joe's by naming Joe's that I think would be great. Obviously, like Work Boot.
It's about Roblox?
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Sauerkraut or whatever. But there's a lot of options to say there. But let me ask you, Pete, I don't think we've ever said, what would your Joe name be?
Oh, how would I know? You know what I mean?
Well, they could, don't they come up with their own names? Who names the Joe?
It's kind of like how nicknames happen. You know what I mean? Like somebody gives you that nickname.
So give it to me. Give it to me. What's your Joe name?
I don't know. But I want to talk about this comic.
Hot Mike? Are we going Hot Mike?
Hot Mike. Internal Spaz, maybe it would be.
Internal Spaz. I don't know if you're going to get picked for a lot of missions with that.
Yeah, we should take Internal Spaz on this one. I think he'd be really
Internal Spaz.
Some guy freaking out in the corner.
Good.
Yeah, you need him for missions. It's super important. Yeah. No, but what's interesting to this, first off, the art just kind of catches you and grabs you and is such an interesting kind of artistic take, which is cool. But for me, it was almost like too tripped out where I was having a hard time with it.
Too tripped?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed to me, and excuse me for bringing my baggage to this comic book, but it just seemed like...
Hey. Your bags are packed.
I was talking to my therapist about Sergeant Serpentor. I feel like this is what comic would happen. You know what I mean? So it's like a kind of a crazy thing.
You would become Serpentor.
Yeah.
I know that's a dream. That's actually a dream of yours to come true. So let's move from your dream to mine. DC and Sonic the Hedgehog number 5 from DC Comics, written by Ian Flynn, art by Adam Bryce Thomas. Obviously, my dream to run alongside my favorite fast woodland animals.
I could see you as a hedgehog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got hedgehog vibes.
Yeah, no, I got
you're a fast dude. Yeah, you like to talk fast, move fast.
Yeah.
You're always running.
Never stop. This crossover comes to a close with this fifth issue. Alex is the one who usually goes to bat for this book. Pete, would you like to go to bat for it in his place? Or
yes.
Would you like to go to SWAT with it? SWAT,
no, I'm going to go to bat. I'm going to go to bat for it. I think this is fun. I thought this was a fun kind of mix of, you know, our heroes going to this sonic world and kind of imbibing it all. I love the pair-ups and what happened in this comic. This is a fun five-issue arc, and I think ends really well. It's got great art, kind of the classic Sonic vibe, and it works well. And, yeah, it's kind of fun to see a younger Batman, younger Wonder Woman, younger Superman, and kind of see them having fun with this. So, yeah, I thought this was a blast for what it was, and has kind of a cool cartoony vibe to it. So it's kind of fun to see your heroes in this different tone. Yeah, it didn't take itself too seriously and was kind of fun. And it was nice to see the kind of Sonic characters missing their hero friends at the end. So, yeah, I thought it was a good run.
They really connected, these hedgehogs and humans.
Yeah.
I got to say, you know, Sonic is not usually my thing, but I think this series really batted above its average with just doing a good job at letting these characters come together. It was a very even-handed crossover where everyone got sort of equal pairing, equal time, equal parts of the world, and they lined up the different hedgehogs and the different Justice League members really well for this, and left the door open for other hedgehog situations.
Yeah.
And that's my camp memoir.
The story, yeah, I was going to say, hedgehog situation is your camp memoir.
That's my Joe name, hedgehog situation.
That's a great Joe name.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book, it's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
That's me, Hedgehog Situation. Let's move on and talk about our next book, God's One World Under Doom, number one, from Marvel, written by Ryan North, art by Francesco Mortarino.
Yes!
The God's section of the Marvel Universe has been sort of like a little bit off to the side. It's a Jonathan Hickman thing that he created, but was definitely his thing. And now Ryan North here bringing it forward a little bit, picking up on some of the characters. Wynn, his apprentice, who we know doesn't like it when her name is not said, and a great Doom crossover here. I really like this.
This was a blast. I love this. And what I liked is it talks about how great Doom is as a character and how he understands people and sees them and wants them to shine in life. You know, he's just this label of a bad guy. But no, I thought this was blast. I thought it was such a fun idea and well executed by Ryan North. The art's great. It's got a cool pace to it. I was just really enjoying myself reading this.
Yeah, and I like just the way the story let our main character really like go to bat for herself. Like,
yeah.
She really, really makes her name quite literally with Wynn, and is Mia by the end of it. When she was, her name was important to her, and she earns it by the end of it. Goes toe to toe with Doom in a great way. I like these gods characters. I like this part of the Marvel universe. I'm happy to see that it's going to continue on.
Great.
Another comic I'm very excited that's always continuing on is Assorted Crisis Events number 5 from Image Comics, written by Dennis Camp, art by Eric Zawadzki.
Get in the camp.
This is great. This is like, you know, we are have been in the tank for a comic called Ice Cream Man for so long, and this is sort of a, not at all similar, but like in that same pocket of just like great standalone stories that touch on an idea and pay it off across so many different sort of metaphorical ways. We get just great visual here. We get, this one's all about someone who's sort of stuck in a loop. So there's a lot of cyclicality here. There's a lot of sort of, you know, repeated thinking. This feels very present and topical with a lot of the way people in our world get stuck in sort of loops of thinking.
Rots or loops, yeah.
Yeah, with a sci-fi bend, though, here that helps to bring it to life a little bit. You know, it gets dark in here, but I just like the shape of the story here. This series is excellent. Every issue stands alone, so you don't have to read it from the beginning, but it's worth reading from the beginning.
Yeah, and also just, you know, trigger warning, there is stuff in here about suicide and some tough stuff in here. But this artistically is an amazing achievement. The page layouts are just so impressive. I mean, damn, the colors, the tone, the vibe of this, it's all really artistic and done so well. It's worth it for the art alone. Yeah, I'm going to say it. It really is. Wow. And
that's something I would never say, Pete.
Yeah. Never. Well, yeah, it's a good thing I'm here. Yeah. But just beautiful moments in this comic.
Never. You know,
see her when she's like sitting with her sister and then going for runs, which I haven't surprised you didn't talk about. Yeah. Just showing up for herself at the end was just was so satisfying and great to see. It's a tough story, but it's also really artistically done, which is great.
I like to run. It makes me smile. I think I'll go another mile.
Oh. Did you just write that? Are you a
poet? I never thought about that. Yeah, I just hit myself in the head with a hammer, and that's what came out of my mouth. Let's move on and talk about Nightwing 2025, annual number 1 from DC Comics, written by Dan Waters, art by Francesco Francavilla. This comic, and this is also just coming to me, is worth it for the art alone.
What?
Am I right, Pete? Am I right?
You are right.
Pete.
You are right. I mean, look at this cover. It's just so badass. I mean, the art on this is just, it's so stylish and cool, and it's got such a great vibe. Yeah.
Francesco Francavilla, I feel like, just pops up in comics now. Epic artist, someone that maybe I first notably encountered in Afterlife with Archie back in the day.
Oh, but yeah.
Just great. Noir horror tinged stories, and this is just a great story that gets into that is like sort of right next door to Nightwing actual continuity, but tells this great story about this villain. It spins out of the comics code scare from the 50s, the corruption of the innocent, I believe, is the at least the book I read about Frederick Wortham and the way he tried to get comics just banned from all the kids. We use that as a basis for just a great in-world comic book story about a villain that has taken advantage of a situation. It's haunting. The art is beautifully done. Nightwing maybe doesn't even appear in this comic.
Yeah.
But exactly. It's still excellent.
It really is amazing, and it's really creepy, this villain, this kind of jester, this evil jester. And, man, just so well done, and I can't talk about artistically how of much of an achievement it is.
I like the Cirque du Sin as villains here and the ringleader as the ringmaster as the villain here. It's very, very cool. Nice way to take a dark angle on Nightwing's origin. But let's move on to Spider-Man versus the Sinister 16, number 1 from Marvel Comics, written by J. Michael Straczynski, art by Phil Noto. This book's funny. This book is a funny little book. It is, you know, it's set up on the cover to be just like a knockdown, drag-out fight between Spidey and other villains and his an extended rogues gallery here. But that is for sure not what happens.
Yeah, I just think it's a fun idea, so well executed. You know, Spider-Man's just trying to have dinner, and all these villains keep showing up, and he's got to have all these sidebars and stuff, and just really fun. Giant fight breaks out, but my favorite moment, just the MJ and Peter on the rooftop in New York City being just all snuggles and cuteness and
snuggles and cuddles. We get, look, Pete, this is like 2006 again. Just yeah. Peter and MJ hugging and kissing all stack long.
Come on, man, on the rooftop together. I mean, it's just beautiful. Yeah.
We can't build the streets together. That's what you think all the time when you're reading this stack.
Mostly made of 80s songs.
I know you are. That's the nostalgia bath. You're truly bathing in at all times.
That's right.
Again, Pete, you're asking our audience to think of you nude bathing a lot.
Nope.
And yes, yes you do.
Nope.
Well, when you take a nostalgia bath, are you wearing clothes?
Yeah, I wear a swimsuit.
You wear a swimsuit when you bathe generally? Or are you wearing a nostalgic swimsuit?
Yeah, I'm wearing a nostalgic. It's a nice one piece with a shower cap. You know what I mean? Classic.
A one piece? Tell me more about what you mean here. Do you mean like a Charlie Chaplin bathing suit?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you call a regular bathing suit, like a board shorts, a one piece?
No, I was thinking of the old timey kind of like, you know, with the top and bottom suit. You know what I mean?
Nice. Like sort of a wrestling singlet style bathing suit. And then did you say a cap on?
Yeah, like a nice straw cap. You know what I mean?
Keep a classic. Straw cap. Wait, like a
straw hat. You know
barbershop I mean? Like, singer?
Yeah,
like exactly. Hello, my baby. Like a pork pie? Wow. I got to say, you know, I was making a joke about nostalgia bath. You've painted a picture that is truly insane.
Thank you.
So now you're asking the audience, when you say, like, oh, it's a real nostalgia bath, to picture you in a straw pork pie hat, wrestling singlet-style bathing suit, just relaxing. Someone throws you a cane, and you say, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime gal. I love Peter and Mary Jane.
Exactly. I mean, that's what this comic's about. It's a beautiful thing. It's nice to see them all kind of together. And kind of trying to work it out. I like you said, this is funny. It's a blast, well-executed idea.
It's rare to see like a truly comedically premised mainstream comic, and that's what this is. JMS, a comic book writer forever. People sort of, you know, have not always 100% on board with him. Everyone has their own mileage for JMS. But I think this comic really works. A lot of great guest stars. A fun, even-handed premise. Honestly, if you gave me this comic without showing me who wrote it, I would guess this was a Chip Zdarsky comic.
Ooh.
Because of the way the story is told. And it really works. It's sweet. It's funny. It's got some exciting moments. There's a lot of, like, dating, allusions to dating, different characters dating, which I thought was great. It was really nice to have in this comic. That's a deaf pickup for me. Let's move on to one that I think is a deaf pickup from our guy, Pete LePage, over here. And that is Lucky Devils number 4 from Image Comics, written by Charles Soule, art by Ryan Brown, the team who's been around for years. This is their, third big series they've worked on together. Yep. This one's about devils and the way that they interact with humans and what those little nutty imps are up to. Pete, how many devils do you have rocking your shoulder right now? You got ants on a log, but devils on your back. Here we go.
Yeah, this is such an interesting story. Tons of twists and turns. Humans are kind of talking without their devils, and so that's a cool... they're kind of piecing a plan together, which is exciting. Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Charles Soule and Ryan Brown are such a great team. It's kind of fun. We're kind of in the middle of stuff right now, so I'm excited to see who's going to win this battle for souls here and lives as the devils are trying to manipulate us. So hopefully we can win, but I don't know. It's not looking good for our team here.
You mean devils or humans? Which side are you on?
Oh, I'm on Team Human.
Interesting. Strong choice. Thanks. Gonna go with the Devils.
Whoa, really?
On this
Your
one.
Team Devil.
This book, very, like, it's complex. It's like a Jacob's ladder of unfolding ideas. But these guys are great at unfolding big ideas and complicated worlds at the same time. They did 8 Billion Genies. They did Curse Words before that. Books that we've sort of been going to bat for a lot. And this one, plot unfolding. The crazy thing about this one is this isn't going to be a long series. I think we're almost halfway through. So that's pretty crazy, given sort of the length and breadth of this story. Very excited. I think these guys just complement each other so well. So happy to have this going on right now in the hot, hot hell of New York City.
What, you know, if this was real, would you listen to your little devil or what?
I mean, I'd hear them out.
Really? Look at you.
I mean, anyone's talking, anyone who comes over, I'm happy to just chill with.
Wow. Wow. That's really impressive.
Why? Just to listen to a devil?
Yeah, I just wouldn't do it. I hate Mephisto so much that I would just be like, get out of here, devil, I'm not fucking.
Well, what if that devil was like, I don't really know Mephisto, he's sort of not my guy.
I'd be like, no, man, no.
You wouldn't trust them?
No, you can't trust the devil, bro. You know, although Hot Stuff, I guess, is the one exception to the rule.
Yes, I think that's one devil you can always trust.
Yeah.
What a hot, to reference Hot Stuff in this.
We're talking about little devils. I mean, what the heck, man?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's just to have Hot Stuff right on the tip of your tongue. That's just you and your pork pie and your singlet just being ready to take a bath.
Hey.
Hello. Hello.
Hot Stuff was one of my first comics.
My Coney Island baby.
Hot Stuff is always right here. Hot Stuff was one of my first comics, bro.
I think Hot Stuff is just lurking on your shoulder. But literally, enough about this. Let's move on to DC's Kal-El-fornia Love, number one.
Whew,
quite
a title
right there from DC Comics, written by Brian Q. Miller, Christoph Bogax, Joshua Hale Fialkov, James Reed, Megan Fitzmartin, Brandon Thomas, Dave Weigels, George Mann, art by Gerardo Sandoval, Jacoby Salcedo, Bruno Abdias, John McKell, Marshall Toledano Vargas, Judy Ba, Joey Vasquez, and Travis Mercer. This a collection of just some summer fun, I guess.
Summer fun, summer loving. Come on, man. This is a great collection of stories, amazing art. The Jimmy Olsen one is fun. Ice and Power Girl is fun. First story with the C-Spot Fly is intense but cool. Yeah, this was a fun collection here.
Yeah, I really liked the shouts to Brian Q. Miller, a writer that worked on the Batgirl book.
Yeah,
that I liked back in the day, featuring our girl Steph as Batgirl. So that was cool. Formerly Spoiler. So cool to see him back. I liked that C-Spot Fly story. Jimmy Olsen, fun, great art there by Jacoby Salcedo.
Yeah.
Power Girl was a good story, a good hang, an overnight catch-up sesh between Power Girl and
Ice.
Yeah, that was cool. But I really like the art on the Steel story by Juni Ba.
Oh, yeah.
No surprise there. Always great to see Connor Kent in the Superboys story.
Superboys.
So really fun summer stuff here. Again, this comic just reminds me that it's summer and comics are for the summer. So that's very fun. Let's jump to something that feels like almost the exact opposite. News from the Fallout number two, in a good way, from Image Comics.
Look at this comic right here. Look at this cover. Come on,
great
man.
Great cover. Written by Chris Condon. Tense. Art by Jeffrey Allen Love. This comic is giving... what's the comic that was set in Barrow, Alaska with vampires?
Oh, Whiteout?
Nope, it was not that. It was...
28 Days Later? No,
it was about... It was dark all the time. People are shouting it
into
their...
I know, I'm trying to think of the what it was.
Yes. But anyway, so this comic is not about that, but it's sort of giving that energy where we have... sort of a mystery unfolding set around a military testing site. And this issue is set in the small town nearby. Getting into just some great drama. The art is all in black, white, grays, and shadows. It really works for this story. There's so much dread here. You could compare this to a lot of like just 1950s horror and sci-fi. I made this connection before, the Twin Peaks season 3 episode 8, which was such an iconic episode. Slowly building. There's so much great back matter in this book as well that I feel like is essential reading that pays off a lot of the emotional details. Pete, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I love the old black and white art. It's just so powerful. It adds such a nice tension to this zombie-like tale. Love the pacing, all the action. This is great. Scary stuff. Cool back matter, as you said, with the letter. I'm really looking forward to what's next. They did such a great job of, you know, encapsulating the vibe of the horror in this kind of artsy tone. So, yeah, really cool.
One of my favorite new comics on the stand, so definitely check it out. The comic we were talking about is, of course, 30 Days of Night.
That's what I was
thinking. Steve Niles, yeah. Alaska Not Vampire 20 Story.
Days. I knew there was like a number in there.
There was a number. Pete can always smell a number. Pete, can you smell this next number? The Thing, number...
3?
There it is! God, what a nose on this bloodhound from Marvel Comics, written by Tony Fleece, art by Justin Mason, giving us a standalone story with some emotion, some humor, featuring the Thing, trying to help out a young girl, getting lost, bounty on his head. There's so much happening in here. There's so much more happening in this single comic book issue than is happening for the Thing in the Fantastic Four First Steps feature film.
Stop taking shots, bro.
I'm just shocked at the characterization of the Thing in the movie. There was not a lot happening for him. No real story, stakes, or action except for him occasionally bumping into a girl that he maybe likes, but he only ever stands 3 feet apart from her a couple times. So how can we tell? This comic, on the other hand, has a lot going on.
If you get turned into a giant rock monster, bro, it might mess with your confidence. It also might mess with how close you get to people. I liked what they're doing with the small moments, man. Stop trying to fucking make everything.
You're talking about the movie, but it's fine to have some small moments, but you got to just have some big ones also, I would argue, when you're telling any story. But this comic has a lot of big moments, has a lot of the Thing being the Thing, Ben Grimm just going to bat, quite literally, against a lot of villains, including the Wrecking Crew. The cover preview for the next issue is so cool. Yeah. Definitely something to check out as he's facing off against another big and pretty unstoppable villain coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I mean, holy Tony Fleece and Fleece over here. The action is just so jam-packed and nonstop. I loved it. I mean, this is just one giant fight, this issue. Ben Grimm trying to get this lost girl home safe, and, you know, all these villains just kind of jump at him and keep coming, and fun last panel. Love the art. Love the pace. It seems like old Tony is having a great time.
Tony is busy, and this comic, it shows that he can take a lot and still do a lot. But I want to talk a little bit about... I have a question for you, Pete. What's the furthest place from here?
Alaska.
Any ideas? Yep, Barrow, Alaska. That's why we referenced it. Number 22 from Image Comics, written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Tyler
Bergie.
Yes, Bergie, bringing us the latest issue of this fantastic series that gets into kids in a strange post-apocalyptic world with mysteries continuing to unfold. We're getting mysteries, fun, just interesting, surprising ways of putting these characters in different situations. Art by Tyler Boss is unsettling and affecting at the same time. This issue has been delayed a little bit. There's a little bit of the back matter talking about how they're going to take some more time before they get to the next issue because they want to make sure it's good, because these guys are busy.
Yeah.
In a good way.
This is just another great issue. At the end there, his friend does a little body shaming, which I was like, yo, that's not cool. But, you know, just because you have monsters all over your body doesn't mean, you know, you can't be proud of it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I just...
You mean tattoos?
No, I thought his, you know.
Or like leeches?
No, I'm talking about the fact when he took his shirt off and everybody was like, oh, gross. And it's like, well, he's just got some eyes and some teeth and some monster stuff going on.
I will say that would be strange to see on a friend.
Well, I'm just saying it would be nice if your friend didn't immediately be like, oh, my God, you know.
What's wrong with you? Yeah, yeah, but if you were to ever slip out of your wrestling singlet and take off your pork pie hat and there was a mouth there, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah, but I would think you wouldn't say anything because that would be kind of, you know.
Yeah, let me tell you, buddy, I would say something.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I would be like, hey.
Well, that's fair. You know, FYI. But hopefully you wouldn't be like, oh, my God.
You question. Know. Well, let me ask you this. Here's the situation I was in recently. I went, I was in upstate New York, got into a sort of a creek, a big wide creek underneath a covered bridge. So picturesque.
Sure, classic.
We were sliding around on these rocks with like little waterfalls. It's sort of like a natural water slide a la Swiss Family Robinson.
Right.
Sliding down, my wife's like, oh, what's this weird little like worm? I was like, oh, I don't know. That's just, it's not, it doesn't look like a leech. No, it wasn't a leech. And then I'm like, ah, it's nothing to worry about. And I was like, oh, look, it's just algae. And then I swipe my hand through it, and it wasn't algae. It was hundreds of little worms. And I was literally covered in them. Here's what they were, though. Black fly larvae.
Oh!
Better than leeches.
Not better much. Leeches. Not
well,
much,
they don't
buddy.
Suck your blood. They're just hanging around.
That's
so, like,
super
it
gross.
Was just gross to be covered in all those things. So I definitely get what you're saying here, but great comic.
Yeah, this is a great, great comic, and just love how weird and creepy the story is and how unique it is. And I think the writing's unbelievable, and so is the art. You talked about the tone that the art sets. It's creepy. Sometimes it's hard to get across, like, the stillness and the creepiness. And, you know, the boss of all the Tylers does such a great job with that.
He's my boss.
And, yeah, he's definitely your boss. I would love if you two
I have to report to him every couple of weeks.
You should. But
Justin Tyler and Tyler Boss.
Yeah, so that would be, it would be Tyler and Tyler, you know. And I just think that would be, it's a match. What a match that would be.
Can you work together just for a joke?
You should find out.
I will okay, do that. And I just want to say, like, the back matter talking about how they're going to take some time. It's written with, like, oh, we're sorry. Thank you for support and patience. Take your time, guys. We want this book to be awesome. Like, don't sweat it. You guys are great. You're busy. You're doing a great other books, including one we're going to talk about in a second from Tyler Boss. And, of course, we're taking everyone down with us from Rosenberg.
Right.
It's great. They also have their producers on the Four Kids Walk Into a Bank movie. So they're a lot going on. It's very cool. It's nice to see them being busy and doing cool things. So do not be upset. Like are the next book we're going to be talking about and the characters featured within. Spider-Man Wolverine number 3 from Marvel Comics, written by Mark Guggenheim, art by Akari Andrews. Oh. And this book, Wolverine stab his friend Peter. What the...
Hey,
wow! Well, is this this? You go to the Savage Land and you get a little like messed up. What's
hey,
up?
Right. First off, I don't like your tone. Okay.
Hey, I don't like getting stabbed by a bud.
Yeah, sure you don't. But listen, what I liked about this issue is they're working through their issues. You know what I mean? It's two people talking and being like, "Listen, yeah, I have a past. Okay, I'm not proud of my past. I'm not proud of the things that happened. But I was brainwashed. I was tricked. I was." You know, whatever. And, you know, they're trying to work through it, which is very mature and very positive. And so I was all about it. But, man, this art, I mean, oh, my God. Andrews's art is just so awesome. I love Spidey in the black suit.
Yeah.
And the Wolverine in this. This is just so classic and cool. But, man, the art, though, I mean, come on, the art.
Yes, it's good art. It's nice that you have Spidey in the black costume and Wolverine in the brown and yellow.
Yeah.
The classic looks. Kari Andrews does a great job of drawing them. It's sort of like a slightly trippier Todd McFarlane, which is it's like a modernized version of that in a cool way. So love that. The story, the only thing I think about the story is it's strange that they're positioning that Wolverine killed Peter's parents.
Well, it's
a weird blend.
Yeah, but listen here. Listen.
Okay? Listen here. Listen here. That's the country talking, Pete.
It's an evil plot, right? So if you have these two enemies, if you can get them fighting, it's easier to take them out, right? So they planted this thing for this trap for them to fight against, so they could get taken out, because instead of working together, they're fighting each other. And what's nice is they're working through their issues instead of falling for it. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's, I can definitely agree with you. I don't think Marvel Comics is going to be like, you know who killed Peter Parker's parents? Wolverine.
Yeah, this whole time.
Nobody wants any of that. That's just, it's just a strange idea to keep in your brain. What's not strange to keep in your brain is our next comic, Lazarus Fallen number 2 from Image Comics, written by Greg Rucka, art by Michael Lark. I love this book. This has been a long-running book, Lazarus, about a world that is terrifyingly, that we're terrifyingly closer to, sort of a post, not apocalypse, but just a post economic meltdown world where corporations run the world. There are no such thing as nations really anymore. Only the wealthy have power or rights. Everyone else is waste. In this, we have each powerful corporate family has a fighter called the Lazarus that goes to battle for them. We're focusing on the Carlyle family and Forever. And a character that were introduced in sort of the last two arcs called Infinity, her sister, which is actually her clone. But it's just great, smart, it's prescient, it is scary, it is really long-form storytelling that's really well done. So happy to have it back.
Yeah, and also the art is so cool. It's this Michael kind Lark. Of gritty, kind of cool look to it. You know, but, you know, it's also, you know, the classic trope of, like, if you need someone to trust you, you just stab yourself in the eye with their knife. You know what I mean? I mean, we've seen that so many times.
I mean, and keep in mind, though, for us, Pete, it works only twice.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then the second time, sort of like, I fucked up.
Yeah, you're kind of...
You only want to do it once.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you should probably never do it. But, man...
You got two eyes. You can just stab one.
Oh, my God.
Then you got pirate.
You just got to be careful which one you go with. You know what I mean? Or you want
which
to
one would you stab?
Nearsighted or farsighted. You know what I mean? So
yeah, here's the thing. I have perfect vision. So I have... Geez. I probably have... Like, I have an extra eye, technically, than you. Because you need
glasses. Well, technically, my glasses are so thick I can see into the future. So, yeah.
That's a nice spin on it. Because, really, your glasses are so thick, if you ever were to drop them, you'd be functionally, like you stabbed your eyes out.
So, yeah.
That's great. So you don't even need to stab your eyes out. You can just set your glasses down.
Yeah, I'm fucked. Yeah,
that's like one of those quickly hardcore grannies you love so much.
Oh, man.
Great. Just one quick book I want to shout out. Michael Lark, I first encountered his art in a book, a Vertigo book from probably 25 years ago called Terminal City. If you want just a great retro story with beautiful art, check out Terminal City if you can find the trade. Really good stuff. But let's jump into Incredible Hulk number 27 from Marvel, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Kev Walker. This is, I think we finished up sort of a big arc recently. We had Philip on the show, the live show, who talks about his work on this and some of his other stuff he's doing. Always love talking to him. He cares about the books he works on so much. And this issue, a standalone issue, really shows that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Shout outs to PKJ here. I mean, he's killing this. First off, incredible cover. Love it. Gets you pumped to read. I mean, this is what you want, you know. But, man, this trigger warning here. I mean, this is, you know, Hulk dealing with abuse and saving a kid from this horrible parent. And, wow, just some really deep, amazing kind of stuff here. Not your kind of average Hulk smash. This is some interesting stuff that it's covering. But, man, just powerful and beautiful and amazing and an interesting place for Hulk to be. So, yeah, I thought this was a great use of Hulk in here.
I know we can't have him forever just doing this, but it would be awesome to get these standalone stories of the Hulk encountering People on the Road, sort of a shout out to the original, the old school 70s TV series, yeah, where it was like story of the week.
Yeah.
Just encountering these bad situations and sort of using the Hulk to right some wrongs. Just love that idea. So this story, it was super emotional. Even if you haven't been reading this series, great pickup, this comic. This issue, number 27. And let's wrap out the stack with You'll Do Bad Things, number 5 from Image Comics, written by my boss, Tyler Boss, art by Adriano Tertolucci. And we just talked about this as the book that the artist on What's the Furthest Place from Here has been writing, going out on his own. In this comic, you have a writer who has written about serial killers, or a serial killer. There's another serial killer on the loose, and he's starting to suspect that he is involved in it somehow because he knows too much. This issue, I think this is the penultimate issue. It's concluded next issue, and we this is sort of the telling you what's up issue.
Yeah, the setting it up.
I won't say too much about what happens, except this comic is really good. It's full of dread and unsparing in its portrayal of these characters. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. First off, crazy cool cover. Love the twists and turns in this kind of whodunit story, this kind of trying to discover who's the killer and who's not and who is responsible for these new killings. And just the coloring, the shading, it's all done for this interesting tone of this, like, oh, we got to get to the bottom of all this before they strike again. So, yeah, the motions just jump off the page, which is exciting. There's almost like a jump scare where it's like they open this box and they kind of reveal the body inside that I was just like, oh, my God, that was such a powerful, cool panel. Yeah, I cannot wait to see what happens in the next issue. This is scary, but also a blast.
The main thrust of the story is centered on this interview between the writer character and the serial killer that he was writing about. And it's just so well done. The serial killer talks about how, like, we write together. I just love that idea that the killer is considering his, like, biographer or the guy writing the true crime adaptation of his work as his collaborator. It's just a really smart idea and creepy in just the right way. Truly, really enjoyed it. Definitely pick it up. And folks, that's what we call the stack. That's what we call the stack for this day, July 30th, 2025. If you like what we're doing here on the stack, please check out our YouTube where you can see a video of this very podcast, unless you're watching it and you're seeing me in my dubbed on the live show Magnum PI shirt by this lovely lamp. That shines on behind me. And look, my Moby Dick poster that there I got from,
She Blows.
Tom Neely, a comic book artist I got at the Comic-Con back in the day when we were working at San Diego Comic-Con. But we have so many other podcasts you can check out. Check out Comic Book Club News, where we have daily news stories. Great short podcast to just get you caught up on what's happening in the news, hosted by Alex Albin. And then we have in our Marvel Vision podcast, we just did a fan review of the Fantastic Four First Steps film, which you should definitely check out. We have our Superman review on our Sons of a Gun podcast about the DC.
Don't forget the Discord. We have a lot of fun in the Discord.
We have a lot of fun on the Discord. How do you get to the Discord, you ask? Well, you join our Patreon. If you join our Patreon, you can come hang out with us. We're on there chatting all day about all sorts of stuff. Please do that. It's very fun. We will be back next week with so many more comics to talk about because like images of Pete taking a loose bath, comic book business never stops cranking out the hits. So we'll be back next week. Right, Pete?
Yeah, take care of yourself till then.
Take care of yourselves till then. And goodbye, Myconia Island, baby.